always at work around us. So watch. God is at work right now around you. Around me? Like what? Where? If you haven't perceived it, it's because you have not been looking. You have not been perceptive. So watch for what? Watch for God doing his work around us. Listen, our job as children of God is not to dictate what God should do, right? We do not tell God, God, you should move here, you should do this, right? No. The one thing that makes God God is that he is the initiator. He initiates. He starts things. He is the leader. He is the commander in chief, okay? He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And so as children of God, as subjects of God, right, who love him, we want to see where he is moving so that we can join him. Okay, we do not think of things, and God, I think this is would be a great idea if he went this way, right? If we did it this way, maybe your kingdom will grow. No, no, no. We watch to see where God is moving, and our job is to observe him and simply join him where he is already at work. Because constantly, God is already at work around us. Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Who said this? Jesus, the Son of God, co-eternal, right? Co-creator with God. If he wanted to act independently, I mean, he could have, right? But he doesn't. While he was on earth, what he did was, maybe with his heavenly eyes, he saw what God was doing, the Father was doing, and simply saying, God, can I do that? Father, can I do that? Can I join you? Like, yeah, help me do that. Let me do what you're doing. Let me help you, right? Like a little child. And that's what Jesus did while he was on earth. He saw simply what the Father was doing, and he was imitating, right? Following what his Father was doing. So, let me give you this verse. Right? This one has never hit me this way, but it's relevant. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Have you ever seen dead birds on the ground? Sometimes, right, I'm sitting there in my house and then dunk, right? Like big window, birds can't see it. I guess that's why they call them bird brains, right? Can't see it, you know, like, and then bumps and then falls and then usually sometimes like they will fly away, sometimes they die. Okay? That was no accident. That was God's work. Right? That bird was meant to die that day if it died. And that was God saying, okay, I'm gonna make you fly into that thing and then you're gonna bump your head and you're gonna die, right? You've lived your, I don't know, 6 months. That was God working. God is into details, in other words, right? God is, if God is working on the sparrow that we look at, sparrow, we can't even eat those things, right? That's so small. How much more people, right, who are made in his image, if God is working into that kind of detail, right? Would he not be working in the details of our lives? And the answer is yes. And that's why we can confidently say that God is always at work around us. And he's at work right now around you. You just don't know it, because we have not been looking. And so, our task is relatively simple. Watch. Watch to see where God is working around us. Okay? What does that look like? Let me give you an example. Here's a story from the Experiencing God book that I'm going through. Henry Blackaby is a pastor. He's the author. And this is what he shared. So this is not me, but this is Henry Blackaby. Okay? He says, our church began to sense God leading us to an outreach ministry to the college campus. That's Henry Blackaby again, I had never done student work. Our church had never done student work. Our denominational student ministries department recommend that we begin with a Bible study in dorms. Makes sense. For over a year, we tried to start a Bible study in the dorms, but it did not work. Then I gathered our students and said, according to some Bible verses, no one is going to seek God on their own initiative. No one seeks God. No one, right? Not run righteous. No one will ask after spiritual matters unless God is at work in his life. So when you see someone seeking God or asking about spiritual matters, you are seeing God at work. Makes sense, right? So I told our students, if someone starts asking you spiritual questions, whatever else you're doing, just drop it. Cancel what you're doing. Go with that individual and look to see what God is doing there. So that week, our students went out to see where God was at work and join him. On Wednesday of that week, one of the girls reported, "Oh, Pastor, a girl who had been in my classes with me for 2 years came to me after class today and she said, 'I think you might be a Christian. I need to talk to you. I remember what you said. I had a class, but I missed it. So we went to the cafeteria to talk,' she said. 'And 11 of us girls have been studying the Bible and none of us are Christians. Do you know somebody who can lead us in a Bible study?' As a result of that contact, we started 3 Bible study groups in the women's dorms and 2 in the men's dorms." And he concludes by saying, "For 2 years, we tried to do something for God and failed. For 3 days, we looked to see where God was working and joined him." And what a difference that made. So that's what I want you to do today, this week, myself included. Watch to see where God is at work around you. At your job, at your school, in your family, where you go shopping, watch. Have your spiritual antennas up, okay? Have your eyes open and make the connection between, right, what God might be doing around and in and around you, all right? So be listening. All right, number 2. He invites us to join him in what he's doing, so respond. In other words, if you see something, if you see God moving in that way, in a small way, then respond. Do something, right? Because that's his invitation to join him in what he's doing. There are some examples, biblical examples from the Bible. All right, let me give you 4. 1, God tells Abraham to leave his home of 75 years. A man lived in the same house for 75 years, and suddenly at 75, right, long past his retirement age, "Hey, I want you to pick up and move to a different country." And what does Abraham do? He picks up and then goes, right, at age 75. So he responded, he moved. Another one, God tells Moses to go back to the palace where he faced failure 40 years ago. So at age 80, Moses goes back to the palace. Remember, he was a prince of Egypt and he left because of the murder he committed, right? But God tells him to go back. And so what does he do? He leaves the desert life, which he lived for 40 years. And then he goes back to the life that he didn't want to ever return to because it reminded him of his failures, right? Long time ago. And so again, he responds by going back to that place of discomfort and fear. God tells Esther, through her uncle Mordecai, to talk to the king so that the Jews, her people, won't be slaughtered. And what does Esther do? Well, if he doesn't extend the scepter, then I might be killed, right? Because that's a law. But he says, if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. God's will is more important, so I'm going to take this risk. And so she responds by risking her life to go talk to the king on behalf of her people. And we knew that was God's will. Last one. God appears before Paul, the Apostle Paul, and turns his life literally upside down, right? Gets him off of his horse, and he sees a bright light, and then what does he tell him to do? "I want you to go to the Gentiles and tell them about me." And the Paul, I mean, he was going around killing Christians, right? He was a Pharisee, and now God wants to turn his life around 180 degrees, and then what does he have to do? Simply respond, right? "Yes, sir, right? You're boss, right? Not the head of the Pharisees." So he goes and does the exact opposite of what he's been doing all his life, listening to God and responding to God in that way. So let me make this statement. We cannot continue to go our way and still follow God. We cannot continue to go our way and still hope that we are following God. No, in just about every case in the Bible, when God calls us to do something, we usually have to make a directional change. And usually it's a drastic change. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me." Denying ourselves doesn't feel comfortable, does it? Taking up the cross is scary because we are going to our death, right? And then following him, that's hard. Because we're going to be called religious nuts, Jesus freaks, right? And we don't want that. But that's what Jesus calls us to do. The cross, that cross that we are bearing may look like abandoning our circle of friends. We only have one set of friends, and God might be saying, no more. Turn away. It might be moving out of this area, out of this town. Right? That's hard. It might be changing your career. That's all I've known. That means I have to go back to school. Tough. Right? Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow him. And it might be, or it might be something as simple as striking up a conversation about spiritual matters with our longtime friends. Sometimes that's even harder, isn't it, than moving. Because it's so awkward. We have never talked about spiritual things, and now you and I ask, so what's your relationship with Jesus like? Okay, maybe not that, right, obvious, but striking up a conversation may be following Christ, right? Even to our death, at least death to our reputation. So, watch for where God is working, and when God shows you, respond. Join him. Lastly, number three, quickly. He takes his time developing us to fit the assignment, so wait. Okay, wait. Actively wait. When God gives us an assignment, he doesn't just tell us to carry out the task and be done with it in an instant, right? When he proceeds, what he proceeds to do is develop our character in order to match the assignment that he has given to us, okay? So when he calls us, right, when he tells us what he's doing, our response should be quick, right? Should be instant. And so that response of moving or that response of striking a conversation should be instant. Don't take years to do that. However, if we are to continue in that assignment and continue and bear the fruit eventually, that may take years. And so just because you have responded to and you have made a hard decision of abandoning your friends or whatever, don't expect the fruit to be there immediately. Most likely it won't come for not only months, but sometimes maybe years. And what is God really trying to do during that time? God is trying to mold and shape you into the character to look like his son, Jesus. That's really the end goal. More than the task, it's really what kind of persons we become, because what we take with us to heaven is our character, right? Not what we have built with our hands, not what we have earned, right? What we have gained for our company or our family. No, what we take us with us is what kind of persons we have become, right? And so God will take those years, even after making us the promise, right? Years of humiliation sometimes, years of failure, years of agonizing, right? And anxiety-filled days to mold and shape us so that we can trust and we can learn to become like his son. When Abraham responded to God's call to go out, right? He immediately obeyed, right? But how long did it take? He was 75. And before God's promise of giving him an heir, right, that is as numerous as the sand on the seashore, how long did it take? To get his first child, it took him 25 years. He had to wait 25 years to even see the beginning of God's promises being fulfilled. And what was God doing during that time? Molding him and shaping him, testing him, right? And even knowing a failure, right, named Hagar, right? So God was doing that work for those 25 years. When Moses finally agreed to go back to Egypt, right? I'm going to go back, right? He thought, okay, 3 weeks. 3 weeks is all I give to God, right? Because it takes about 3 weeks to go from from Egypt to the land of the promise, which is current Israel location. But how long did it take him? 40 years. Can you imagine? He's 119 years old, right? He's been in the desert for 39 years. God, I thought it was going to be a short deal, right? Like a month at most. 39 years I spent in this stinking desert. What's up? Are you really with us? What was God doing? Molding, shaping, preparing that generation for the next generation, right? That's how God works. It takes a long time. So wait. When Joseph was shown the dream at age 17 of his future, as a leader of Egypt. He knew he was going to be a leader. He was going to be something big, right? Until that happened, though, like, how long did it take? He became the prime minister of Egypt at age 30. promise was shown at age 17. It was fulfilled at age 30. 13 years, right? To a 17-year-old, 13 years is like forever, isn't it? What happened during that time? Yeah, he was sold as a slave by his own brothers, and then he was accused of rape, which he didn't commit, and he spent time in jail. Right? What gives, God? Like, what's up? I thought I was supposed to be the, right, this big, right, hot shot. God was humbling him. Right? God was molding and shaping him to fit the assignment that God had promised him. So here's what's consistently true of those who have been called by God. And let me put this up. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. You've heard that before. That is so true. That is biblical. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. That is exactly the opposite of how the world does it, right? When you're applying for a job, what do they require? A resume, right? And then there are prerequisites or requirements for this job, right? And then they want to see what kind of school, what kind of degrees do you have, what kind of, how many years of experience. In other words, what they're asking is, are you equipped for this job? Only if you are equipped for this job, then we will hire you. But that's not how God does it, right? You are not, you have no idea what you're doing. I have no experience in this whatsoever. And that's why so often when God calls a person, the first thing that they say is, you got the wrong man, right? Moses, right? I've never done that, right? Gideon. I'm not an army dude. I'm like a little pansy, you know, little mama's boy, right? I'm not a warrior. Why are you calling me a warrior, right? That's their response. Because they don't feel equipped, and they're not equipped. But what does he do after God calls them in the years to follow? He equips them, right? Circumstances, events happen such that they have to learn to trust God. That is my story as well. Growing up, you'll be surprised to find that I have never had a friend who was non-Korean. Until we really started our church, I never had a friend who was not Korean. And he called me to be a pastor of a diverse church. I'm like fish out of water, right? I feel so uncomfortable. I don't know what I'm doing. This is totally not me. God, you're supposed to be using like what's inside of me, right? What's true of me? What's my talent? What I'm feeling comfortable with, right? God said, nope. Right? I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to change you. I'm going to mold you and shape you, right? And that's what I believe that God has been doing for the last 10 years. Now you're like my family. Right? You are my family. I love you, right? Amen. Amen.